are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today. I'm also with the Spurs Zone at News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Wow, it feels like it's been a long time since we last spoken, but I'm glad to have you back here clicking on this new episode. So what are we going to be doing today? Well, it's very easy. We're going to do some news and notes, knock that out really fast, catch you up on some things that you may have missed, and dive into the main topic is Jakob Poeltl. And I get it. We've talked about Poeltl quite a few times on this podcast, but our guest later on, Casey Vieira, I'll bring him on in a few minutes, went deeper than just bringing him back yes or no. I mean, really took time to look at the values, the arguments pro and against bringing Poeltl back, or in this case, I guess, matching any offer he gets as he is a restricted free agent. We're going to be doing that in just a few moments. So let's go and dive into some quick Spurs news and notes. Well, first of all, DeMar DeRozan, he's a big advocate on mental health. We all know that that's good on him, but he's taking it a step further. He'll be speaking at the Women Plus Sports Summit hosted by ESPNW this month. And he's actually opening up the conference as a guest speaker on that panel. By the way, it is a virtual panel and it is free for everybody to join. Just simply go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. The link is there in case you want to join. It's a great cause. Not only is mental health, it's women in sports in general, the pandemic, everything is going to be discussed on this virtual event. And DeMar DeRozan kicking things off. Good on DeRozan. Here's something that you thought in a million years I never would have said, or maybe you never would have thought of. Bryn Forbes got a shout out on a rap album. Yeah, that's right. Bryn Forbes got a shout out on a rap album. And by the way, that rap album is from Bulls Denzel Valentine. Well, so why did he give him a shout out? It was quite simple. Forbes and Valentine grew up together in Michigan, actually in Lansing, Michigan. And in that rap album or that rap single, Forbes got a shout out for helping Valentine get this rap album going. And by the way, it wasn't just Forbes that got a shout out. It was actually Spurs PR staffer Jordan Howenstein. He also got a shout out from Valentine. Why? Because Jordan is also from Lansing, Michigan. So it's just one of those off-season things just to keep you going. And it's just quirky to see. That's all. You want to go to Spurs Zone. It's there. The video is there. But be warned, it's not safe for work. Valentine really lets those F-bombs go. So you've been warned. Hey, look, if you want to help a good cause and you're also a big fan of Keldon Johnson, then right now there is an auction going on for an autographed artwork of Keldon Johnson by a San Antonio artist. And the proceeds go to the San Antonio Ronald McDonald House. The photo is awesome. And what the artist did is took it a step further outside of the fact that just showing them all charged up and a Mustang behind him, because, you know, the nickname Mustang. But he put a spin on it and put him in the Spurs ABA jersey. It looks phenomenal. Again, proceeds go to the San Antonio Ronald McDonald House. It's there at News4SanAntonio.com. And again, you know, speaking of Keldon Johnson, if you want a chance to meet and greet with him, he will be heading up at Buck and Doe's Mercantile out in San Antonio. So all you San Antonio residents out there that want to go check him out and meet Keldon Johnson, now is your chance. I'm pretty sure all the COVID safety protocols will be in place, but you can do that on October 17th, again, at Buck and Doe's Mercantile, and it is for Bucktoberfest. Now you're kind of asking, like, well, why is he doing this? Well, in case you listen to the Locked On Spurs where we had Keldon Johnson, he said that he's an avid hunter, big outdoorsman, kind of goes hand in hand. So now is your chance to see and meet the young Spurs rookie phenom. It's going to be a great event. I'm pretty sure a lot of Spurs fans will turn out for that. And finally, a shout out to the Spurs Give and Bear County. And for those of you who don't live in San Antonio, that's just the name of the county where San Antonio sits, is going to donate over $235,000 for local nonprofits. the Spurs once again giving back to the community and then some for mental health, emotional health, that's going to go to prevent domestic violence. It's a big, generous donation by the San Antonio Spurs Give Foundation. All right, there you go. Catching you up on all things Spurs. But when we get back, we're going to be talking about Jakob Poeltl and his future in San Antonio, well, at least according to what Casey Vieira feels the team should go with. But before we do that, let's quickly talk about Built Go. Now, we talked about Built Bar before. Well, they're taking a step beyond. They're putting protein in a pouch with energy. Now, I know you've seen those at, you know, your 7-Elevens, your Valeros, those little foil pouches you kind of squeeze and it has like goo in it. Yeah, that. It's great tasting. It has a variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate mint. And it gives you a quick energy burst right away. It's 1.5 ounces. You can put them in your briefcase, in your pocket, in your golf bag, whatever. You go to the gym, you need a quick boost of energy and protein. It's all there in Built Go. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's a five-hour energy hit without that crash feeling. I mentioned chocolate mint. They also got peanut butter honey and chocolate coconut. What you want to do right now is visit BuiltGo.com, use promo code LOCKED, and get yourself 20% off your next order. Once again, use promo code LOCKED for 20% at BuiltGo.com. And as they say, let's go. We're back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira. He is a San Antonio sports reporter. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. Casey, I mean, the Spurs, man. Giving that amount of money to local charities. You see Keldon Johnson giving back to the community. I mean, whew, they say the Spurs family, they mean it, Casey.
Oh, you know how it is. This ain't no surprise. They've been doing it for years. Tradition continues on. So
exactly. Yeah.
Good to see. Definitely.
By the way, when are you going to get your shout out in a rap album?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't have any ties to rappers, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
if I did, I would be a lot more, you know, disappointed that people in my social circle can't give me a shout out on my rap album or their rap album.
But that
is the answer to your question. Yeah. Until I incorporate a true rap or a true lyricist into my social circle, I do not see that happening anytime soon.
I never thought I would say Bryn Forbes got a shout out on a rap album.
Right? You know, got to look out for friends, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I shared this with the Locked On Bulls crew out there. Their reaction was the emoji face palm.
Denzel Valentine, yeah, he's with Chicago. Where is he?
He's with Chicago.
He was with Chicago. Okay.
Yeah. He
got it.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a big Michigan connection in the NBA. It was Valentine, and there's Forbes, and we mentioned the Spurs PR staffer. There's quite a few
Jordan.
Guys.
Most importantly, there's Jordan. Above all else,
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Jordan should have got his own track. They should have wrote a track solely for Jordan.
You know, I teased Jordan when I saw the news. I said, "What's going on, Howie?" And he goes, "Shut up." Because in Valentine's rap single, where Jordan gets the shout out, and he goes, and blah, 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 Howie. I'm like, is that Howie? Howie. And yeah, sure enough, it was him. So it was just Howie. A little quirky thing. And you know me, Casey, in the off season, I'll find something to keep Spurs fans' appetite satisfied.
You dig, man.
Yeah, I dig. And then well, speaking of digging, you did some digging on Jakob Poeltl. Now, we all know he's one of the bigger free agents the Spurs have to think about this off season. He is restricted free agent. He is very young. He's a big. He's given some good numbers. I'm not saying great numbers, but good numbers.
Efficient.
Yeah, efficient. Especially in the bubble, they spiked a bit. But you had an interesting article. And, you know, when you tossed the idea to me, you mentioned like, hey, you know, you think that maybe it's not going to happen, that he probably won't stay. Do you care to elaborate on that feeling?
I think more so if you want to put a label on whether he's going to stay or whether he's going to go and to whose call it ultimately will be, I think it's going to be more him making the decision as opposed to the Spurs right now. And the reason I say that is, for one, he did say that earlier in the off season.
Yeah.
I know in the article, we attached a reference to that, speaking to a European outlet where he said, basically, I'm open to going other places. Yeah. I think that for one, and two, the other thing is if he plays this 1 year under the qualifying offer on that offer sheet, that 1 year deal going into a free agency where he can make more money, where there's more stars and more teams with cap space and he can play well. We say it all the time, Jeff, is that there are always teams that strike out with the big names who are forced to overpay for somebody else. And the economics of this summer, as we all know, based on what's going on outside the basketball world, is going to kill the salary cap. It's going to, from a Pirtle standpoint, that's not necessarily the best scenario, because you're looking at a situation where under a normal summer, he could probably get somewhere in the range of 13, 14, 15 mil a year, optimistically, annually. But this year with that cap closing, there's not going to be a lot of teams who are going to be willing to give him that. And so from his standpoint, I think that's why he would wait. But from the first Spurs standpoint, I think that's why if they were to extend, I think now would be the time, because you could save him on a price tag if you were committed to bringing him back.
Here's the thing why I would want him back. He's meshing with this young core now. He did pretty good. Like I say, great, but he did okay out in the bubble. And if the Spurs are wanting to go in the youth movement, why do you want to throw a wrinkle in that movement? Mm-hmm. Trey Lyles, you know, didn't get to participate out in the bubble. He was hurt, you know, but he'll be back. And, you know, we'll see what happens then. LaMarcus Aldridge, we all know he kind of stymies the offense and doesn't really lend well to that style that the young guys want to play. Pirtle does, though. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, it's tough. It's a tough spot that the Spurs are in with this, because long term, you know, Aldridge is gone after this season.
Right,
if
yeah,
he's even on the roster in 2021. So you know he's gone. So in the immediacy, you know that Pirtle is going to fill that spot, or at least going to be around for this 1 year to hold down, be a primary, one of the primary focal points to hold down that center spot, even with Aldridge here, because he'd be first in line to come off as that center off the bench. And the way that things were going right now, like you alluded to, it did appear that he was fitting in relatively well, obviously, from a scoring, spreading the floor standpoint. Mm-hmm. The expectation's not going to be there, but that's understandably so. But serving as a guy who can maintain the paint, who can rebound, who can defend relatively consistently, he did a good job with it. He especially saw it in the latter half of the bubble, where he extended those minutes. I think even one of the couple of the games, he got 30 plus minutes, which was high on the season. He had 19 point performance thrown in there as well. So you saw the positive signs. But I think, Jeff, what it's ultimately going to come down to is, what do they feel like is, and this sounds very much no kidding, but what do they feel like is his role or his peak, his ceiling going forward? Do they think that if they are to pay him, that if you bring him back, in all likelihood, you're probably operating under the assumption that he's going to be a starter for you. You're probably operating under that assumption, at least down the road. Maybe the first, second year, probably not. But if he does start, it's going to have to be by default next year. Or 2 years theoretically from now, if he were to come back. So it's an interesting spot that the Spurs are in. And right now, I'm not entirely sure what the true answer is, because on the other side, from his standpoint, I don't know if Pirtle necessarily knows how committed he is to this thing, to staying in San Antonio.
Yeah, and look, he's told European outlets that he does think, obviously things can change, but he does believe that he will remain a Spur. But money talks. And if there's a team out there that's going to throw him a bunch of money, I cannot blame him if he takes it. But historically, Casey, the Spurs don't really match on offers for bigs. We've seen that.
No, they do not.
We've seen that with Dwayne Dedman. We've seen that with the various other bigs during their history. Do you think this would be a mistake if the Spurs don't match? Now, obviously, if it's something ridiculous, you know, where it's going to break their bank, I get that. But if it's still something within their reach, but it's a little bit asking too much, you think the Spurs would would be unwise to not match?
So we'll say like, we'll throw that number at somewhere between like 10 to 12 million.
Okay.
Instead of that 13 to 15. Factor that in. $10 to $12 million for Pirtle. That would be, that would take you through next season, 2022-23. Am I doing this right? 23-24, right?
Yeah,
so next 2021-22-23. So you're paying Pirtle would start maybe 10, 11, 12, progressively, if you were to sign him to say a 3-year deal, of course. That's not a bad price tag for him. Yeah. That's not a bad price tag for a guy who will be a starting center in this league. I mean, comparatively speaking, just to give you perspective right now, looking at a few of the numbers, I brought up a few of the numbers comparable to him. I mean, Taj Gibson, veteran of the business, center, 12 years in the big. He got 12 years in the league. He got he was working with the Knicks on a $10 million a year offer for 1 year. So, I mean, and Pirtle is a better basketball player than Taj Gibson.
For sure.
So I think if you were to get him at that price tag, I think you'd do it. I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say it's a mistake, because I think when you said, you know, think to the extent of a mistake, you think that you're letting like a can't miss guy go.
Right.
But if you're letting a $10 to $12 million opportunity there annually walk, you could find it elsewhere, but the only problem is you have to find it at that point. But I mean, he is a good option at that number, I think. I don't know if I'd go as far as calling it a mistake, but you know, it wouldn't necessarily, it make it a little bit more of an inconvenience to try to find that fill in, you know?
Let's look at some numbers here, and I'm going to cleaning the glass here. Pirtle did see an increase in several statistical categories. It started on the defensive end because, you know, Spurs fans, and we all know him for the defense he brings. You know, this past season, 19-20, he had a 4.1% block percentage. That's his career high right now. Mm-hmm. Last year, in his first year in San Antonio, it was 2.7. So there's that. His steal percentage went up to 1.4, again, another career high. His foul percentage stayed about the same. He fouls about 4% of the time. But you're looking at other little intangibles that he brings. His free throw defensive rebounding, so basically just the missed free throw that the Spurs create, 29%, another career high stat for him. Even his defensive rebounding percentage, 19.2. That's valuable, Casey, and that's another reason why I think the Spurs should match if it's not some ridiculous offer. I don't think there'll be a ridiculous offer because all teams are hurting for money right now and they want to be penny pinching, but that's valuable, and defense wins titles, and if Pop is still around, he's going to see that, Casey.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, but like I was saying before, I don't think this comes down to really – the Spurs' decision, despite the fact that they hold the cards, whether they want to bring him back, that's in the short term. In the long term, that's his call. That's his call. And that's why I'm kind of more of the belief that he's going to sign this 1-year qualifying offer to stay put and then try to ball out after that and get more than that $10 to $12 million price tag. And if he does do that, I mean, it is feasible. Mm-hmm. Another thing you have to keep in mind here, Jeff, too, is that getting locked into that number, potentially that 15, that 13 to 15, we won't call it 13 foot, but we'll call it 12 on the latter end of that 10 to 12. We'll call that 12. In 2021, the Spurs have a lot of money, or projected to have a lot of money to play with, a lot of money to play with. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we know this is the summer of Giannis that's coming up in next off season. Do we even call it the summer anymore?
I know. It's more like a break. I think they're on a break. Yeah, I'll be right back in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm going for. You know what I'm – off season. I guess that's the better way to put it. So we know that they're not going to be in play for Giannis. We know that they're not going to be in play for – probably not in play for Paul and George, just, you know, talking guys off the top of my head. But they could be in play for a guy like Rudy Gobert. I would
think. Definitely. I would definitely see that. Yeah.
Steven Adams is a free agent too. Mm-hmm. They could be in play for Steven Adams.
Huge Popovich fan.
Huge Popovich fan. So would you rather pocket that extra 15 mil in your hand to know that you have more leeway, more bucks to outbid somebody if you really want one of these two guys? Would it be yeah. more beneficial to do that? Would you rather have, you know what I mean? Like, would you rather have Gobert for 30, Adams for 28, or would you rather have Poeltl for 15?
Right.
And I think from the Spurs standpoint, I don't think Poeltl's going to be as good as either of those two guys.
Right. I mean, maybe there's an argument he would be better than Adams simply because of the age factor and how much he maybe less, you know.
But Adams, I don't think Adams is even 30 years old, right?
I thought he was at 30 or 29. I think Poeltl's at 24 or 25.
Poeltl or Adams will be.
Yeah, Poeltl's at 24 years old right now.
Yeah, Adams will be 29
okay.
by next summer.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. A five-year gap right there, more yeah. or less. You know, and in this NBA, I'll take it, you know, with youth kind of being the big thing right now. Young legs are up and down. No, but Poeltl's not, you know, a runner. He's not going to get you up there, but he's definitely faster than LMA. He'll get up there, you know, he'll do the dirty work. He doesn't need his touches. He doesn't demand the ball. He'll clean up whatever needs to be cleaned up if any mistakes are made. We went over his defensive numbers right now. Let's go look at some offensive numbers now, again, via cleaning the glass. His assist percentage shot up tremendously this year, Casey. A career high 12.6% of the time he was assisting on teammates' made shots. That's great. That's awesome.
12.6?
12.6%.
That's actually not bad.
That's really good. Last year, his first season in San Antonio, again, according to Cleaning the Glass, and again, for those who are trying to, what is this assist percentage? Basically, that what it is, it's a measurement of the percentage of, in this case, Poeltl's teammates made shots that Poeltl assist on.
Does that factor in like hockey assists in there too?
No,
just no. I say that in all seriousness.
No. It's just simply direct assist. You know.
Huh.
So he's finding the open man. He's making the right pass. At least that's what the numbers are showing. Last year, in his first year, San Antonio, 9.9%. It just shot up. One thing that did decline a bit was his, I believe it was his points per shot attempt. Again, Cleaning the Glass measures that by the total points scored per 100 shot attempts. 127.2 last year, well, 18-19, I know everybody's mixed up with these years now. 19-20 season, 122.0. It dipped a bit, but, you know, it's not too bad, you know, because the Spurs do have scores on their squad. One thing that is concerning, though, is his turnovers. He coughed the ball up quite a bit. This past season, it wasn't his worst season. Actually, his sophomore season in Toronto, turning the ball over close to 19% of the time. This past year, 15% of the time, Casey. I guess one of the things you live with, you know. I mean, you try to clean it up. Hopefully, he'll just get better. I look at Poeltl and I just see the value he brings, and I hope the Spurs do match an offer, albeit you know it's not out of their realm of their pocketbook. To bring him back. I think he's a valuable piece to this team. He's not going to give you those stunning numbers that you see LMA dish out or Gobert or other bigs in the NBA, but he's perfect for what the Spurs are looking for right now in this youth movement, Casey.
Yeah. I just think honestly, it comes down to what that value is. If you're going to get him back, as a result, if he decides that he's going to sign a deal mm-hmm. where he's going to potentially take $10 to $12 million a year, mm-hmm. and the Spurs are presented with that offer that they have to match, I think you do it. Mm-hmm. I think you do it because that's not a huge inordinate amount. It's 10 to 12. I don't think that's that bad. I think it's when you get into that 14-15 annual range. And he won't see that in all likelihood this year. That you have to put pause on things a little bit more. In the immediacy, though, you can operate under the assumption that Poeltl will be back or has a very strong chance of being back next year. just off that 1 year, just off the 1 year offer sheet that we're assuming the Spurs are going to offer, and he's going to sign. And in all likelihood, he'll pass up any extension like we were alluding to before. You'll do that. So, I mean, I think I agree with you. I think Poeltl is a piece. I think Poeltl is a very competent. You could do a whole lot more worse than having a guy like that. Especially, you know, you forget how young he is. You mentioned 24.
Yeah,
that's young. I mean, that's young, and a guy who really, not until the past 2 years, got more quality reps. I know in Toronto that second year, he did start getting more time. He actually played a full 82, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's very durable.
And that's another thing. What do they say? The best ability in the NBA is availability.
Right.
Is that another thing? So you're paying for a good value at either way, you're paying for a relatively good value at what it's at, because you get a guy who can rebound, defend, and do things that the way that you're going, the way the game plan, the way that the MO, the viewpoint of this roster is younger and faster. He can do things a lot of the other guys can't do on the floor, and be the best one on that roster to do that, for better and for worse.
In your article, you note that he's a Spurs pretty much best paint defender, rim protector, you know, block numbers are there, you know, so you give him that. And then you measure the economics of it, which I like that you brought in the article, but you leave a verdict, and your verdict sounds, from what I'm reading, from what I'm gathering, it's kind of like, it's almost a win-win situation. Am I reading that right?
From what viewpoint?
From everybody's viewpoint. If the Spurs were able to retain him, you know, they match an offer, or he decides to stay, you know, great. You got somebody who, you know, fits well right now, is proven. If he leaves, signs, good for him, because he's probably going to get paid and he's going to get the reps and he's going to find the time on the court.
Yeah.
It sounds like a win-win situation for me. That's what I'm gathering. But I guess where I'm leading this is to this point. Let's just say he does pick up an offer and he decides to take his talents elsewhere. The Spurs will have Eubanks, LMA, and Trey Lyles on that roster. You think Eubanks could fill that void?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. But, I mean, this is not a can't-miss product that's walking out the door.
Right.
He's a nice rotational player that's walking out the door that you'd be letting go. You'll be able at some point to find another Jakob Poeltl. It'll take a little bit. It'll take some developing, some searching. But it's not like you're letting if they were to let Keldon walk out the door at this.
Oh, God. I'm done. Would be,
right. Yeah. Exactly. You're not letting Keldon walk out the door like this. You're not doing it. So from that standpoint, it's more kind of like, you're talking about final verdict with it. And I think the verdict that I did, or at least I expected, was that he was going to sign that offer and not accept any extension, only to try to extend next year. And I'll kind of stand by that stance. That's not the end of the world if that happens with the Spurs. One thing I did want to ask you, though, and it's something I hit on in the article as well, and I wrote it in mind of asking for you, is that for a while, and it helped a little bit with Keldon playing pretty well in a short amount of time and ease the pain a little bit. But the optics of the Kawhi trade largely have been negative from the Spurs side of things. The optics have been that they did not get anywhere near cents on the dollar for this guy. And probably pretty right. Up to this point, through 2 years, probably pretty right. The skeptics are right when they say that. Do you think that aspect of the trade, knowing that that's there and the sentiment that they didn't win this, kind of influences them more in saying that it influences them more in re-signing Poeltl, just to kind of validate, like, okay, well,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, we let Kawhi go, but we got two starters out of the deal 5 years from now, or 3 years from now, years after the trade. No, you know what I'm going for, right?
Yeah, just to offer a like sense of trying validation. To salvage it.
Right.
I think
It's tough, right?
It's tough, yeah. It's because I see the situation where the Spurs are going to be like, well, we had a gun to our head. You know, there was nothing we could have done, you know, outside of if the reports were true, though, I think they could have done something dealing with with the Lakers. I think that would have been great if the Spurs just bit the bullet and did that. But outside of that and making the deal with Toronto, yes, as of right now, it's not looking good. There's hope because of KJ's emergence of his on the bubble and the steady play of Poeltl, but you're never going to match Kawhi Leonard, what he's doing. You're never gonna get that. So it's always gonna look bad, Casey, no matter what deal the Spurs made to get basically to get something for Kawhi Leonard. And I think if Poeltl does walk, I mean, yeah, I think that you're gonna hear it, you're gonna see. Look, the Spurs struck out. And look, and I love KJ. I think he's gonna be a great player, but we just don't know if he's gonna reach that stardom level yet. The trajectory is there. The Spurs fans going crazy right now saying that, yeah, he's gonna get that.
I mean, to no fault of his own, Kawhi Leonard's a top 5 to 7 player in the league. The expectation for Keldon Johnson is that coming back in that trade is that for the number 21 pick overall in the draft is to not be a 5 to 7 player in the league. So that's no fault of his own there.
Right. But hey, it is what it is. They had to make a deal. You know, Kawhi was going to leave, and the Spurs could have been in worse shape with nothing, Casey. And I think Spurs fans need to put that in perspective when they look back at that deal, which involved Poeltl and now what would turn out to be Keldon, was this could have been a lot worse. You know,
there's no pressure for them to be more aggressive in bringing him back just to kind of confirm that. I keep saying the term validation. I guess. Well, what did you say? Use the better
I think
term
the,
validation.
The,
what'd you say?
The Spurs are going to – I don't think they're going to look at that. I think Pop and I guess Brian Wright in this case, they're not going to be looking back at what the deal that went down. They're not going to be, well, we got to keep Poeltl because it's going to validate us, you know, validate the deal. I don't think that goes to the mind. I think what they're going through right now, I think – that Kawhi Leonard saga is behind them now. They're pushing forward. We know that Pop all but announced it in Orlando. And I think this is a new chapter in their history. Now, here's the thing, though. If Poeltl walks and KJ doesn't pan out, then, you know, and, you know, DeMar DeRozan leaves either this offseason. Yeah, it's a total disaster. But, I mean, right now, it's looking okay. It's looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
DeMar still. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, we're saying this operating on the assumption that DeRozan's gone after next year, of course.
Right. Yeah. And if DeRozan leaves next year and when Poeltl's still around and KJ is still, you know, figuring things out because he's going to go through that next season. He got only 8 games, which is great. But let's see what he does in what maybe could be, what, 60-something games next season? We don't know.
Whatever it is. We'll just say a full season.
Yeah, a full season, you know. Then we'll see. But I just think right now they're not looking back at the Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think the Spurs are, I guess, a proud enough, realistic enough organization to acknowledge that when we took the L, we took the L.
Yeah.
In the Kawhi trade, we lost. We lost the Kawhi trade.
They were going to lose no matter what.
Right, of course. But I mean, from the standpoint of trying to find that validation or just that reassurance that they kind of tell themselves that they got it right by bringing back Poeltl. Because if you do that in some cases, if you invest that money into him and he just turns into a glorified role player who's you – what was that?
Brooke Lopez.
If they can get Brooke Lopez
or Robin
$15 million, that's a pretty good deal. I know they're kind of goofy and pretty much built the same and unathletic, but if they can get Brooke Lopez out of that, that's pretty good. But I think they're proud enough of an organization to acknowledge that they screwed it up. But they're not going to put themselves in a position to worsen themselves if they don't feel like Jakob has that potential to earn that type of money, that $15 million a year. I don't think they'll do it because that only puts them in a bigger bind going forward.
Here's the thing, too. I also don't think they're going to want to mess up what could potentially change the franchise back in the right path next offseason.
right,
when they have that money. I don't think they're going to throw some ridiculous Pau Gasol contract at him and mortgage away that future, because they could possibly add a solid all-star, already made prime player, to this young core. This young core is probably not going to see their peak yet for another couple seasons. You know,
right.
We're not going to see that happen for like 2-3 more seasons. KJ may buck that trend, but, you know, Lonnie, I think he still needs another full season to pan out. KJ, maybe a half season before we start seeing him really grow. And I wouldn't be surprised, too, next season. Casey, a lot of the plays are run for KJ. You're going to see that. And here's the thing, too. If they do give the money to Pirtle and they keep him around, I'm not going to hate it. I don't think Spurs fans are going to hate it. I think they're going to be like, that makes sense, San Antonio. That was a wise decision. I think what's going to happen, though, if they announce they keep him and you see the numbers, and the numbers are just like, you're giving him how much? You know, I think
that's
where you'll see Spurs fans kind of bite their fingers and be like, okay, you really have to go down that road, San Antonio.
Okay, I'll tell you what's going to happen here. Assuming the way I said it before is that he sticks to the one-year offer sheet, and he sticks to that one-year offer sheet and becomes an unrestricted free agent summer 2021. For teams that are looking for the bigs, we mentioned Gobert, we mentioned Steven Adams, probably to a lesser degree, and Andre Drummond. Those are the three big guys at their position who are probably going to get paid: Gobert, Drummond, Adams, probably in that order from highest to lowest. But you're both looking at right about, for Drummond, Gobert, like 30 each annually to start, and Adams probably a notch below that. There's going to be a lot of teams interested, and there's going to be a lot of teams striking out. And for the teams that strike out on those guys, for every team that does, Pirtle's price tag goes up that much more, assuming he plays well next year and continues to grow. So you're looking at a point that, say the Spurs strike out on Gobert. I don't know if they have interest. Well, they might have interest in Drummond, but we'll just say they strike out on all three of those guys right there. Pirtle can come back at that point and even raise that price tag even more. Be like, all right, well, you didn't get any of these guys. Now I don't want 15. I played well for you last year. I want 18. I want 19, around there. That's where it gets tough.
That sentiment is already, at least personally, I'm feeling that already from him words.
That's exactly.
He's already at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. He's already, you said it right there. He's already at that point. So that's another thing to keep in consideration this year. If you have the opportunity to potentially match at that low number, you really have to consider it. Because next year, it's going to be really a tough pill to swallow if you're going to go out here and be paying upwards potentially of 18, 19 million if you strike out on the big guys at center underneath.
Yeah. And
if you if you get Pirtle at $10 million, you feel a lot better bringing him off the bench at 10 mm-hmm. than you do bringing him off the bench at 20, especially when you have that money if you do hit on Gobert, you know?
Right. And you deal with one more season with Pirtle, and you just go into the assumption that he's probably going to bounce after next season. You know, he'll probably be an unrestricted free agent, and he'll take his talents elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And a team will take him. You know, he's young still. You know, he brings value. We've gone over some numbers. I just see it for me, from my viewpoint, I'm thinking long game right now. I'm thinking keep him if there's not a ridiculous offer being made his way, because of the chemistry already. These are still young. This is a young team, and imagine them having fluctuated already with different teammates here and there, and especially a crucial teammate like Pirtle has established himself with him in the bubble. We know LMA is going to be out likely at the end of next season. Why not keep on keeping on, develop that chemistry, get that familiarity? You know, why throw in, I'm making this up now, you know, player X, you know, and maybe the fit was just better. I don't know. We just have to see. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to say bye-bye Pirtle and hello Gobert, I mean, that's a no-brainer, you know, or bye-bye Pirtle and hello Andre Drummond. Great. And I think the young Spurs will love that. But if they're really serious about this youth movement, then keeping their youth together, and that includes Pirtle, and in my opinion, is vital for the development of this next generation of Spurs players. But here's the thing too, Casey, if you look at Pirtle, though, when he made his comments, because I think Spurs fans forget about this, he wasn't making these comments after the bubble. He said them before the bubble.
Before. Yep.
Before they even took off to Orlando, when they were still in San Antonio getting back into the gym.
When there wasn't even assurance that we were going to have basketball.
Exactly. He was already saying this stuff. Do you think that was his way of putting the Spurs on notice that, hey.
Absolutely.
You know.
And that's absolutely. And I think that's why he's going to sign. That's why I don't think he's going to extend with anyone in this offseason. I don't think he's going to extend with anyone. And he's made it clear that he's thinking ahead for his future financially as well. Because when you're saying that you're pursuing opportunities as a starter, that means you're pursuing whoever is going to be paying you the most in all likelihood, because they believe in you to be that starter. That's the implication. When someone says that, that's the implication, what it is to me, that they're going to follow the money. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty clear that that's what he's at least aiming for. And honestly, I can't believe him. I can't really blame him I can't blame him, because it's his first big chance to get extended after his rookie contract.
Yeah.
And he should be eyeing something like that if it is there, if a team is willing to pay him that money. But like you said, that's him almost counterpunching the fact that the Spurs have his immediate rights for next year. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what that is. That's him trying to make a power play in response to knowing that the Spurs make the call on him in the immediacy.
Well, you know, I've been glowing about his positives, you know, on both ends of the court, and a little bit of the negative, the turnover percentage. But, you know, I got to be fair, and, you know, there is the downside of Pirtle, and that is he can't shoot worth a lick.
You
cannot take a 3-point shot, let alone a mid-range shot. I mean, I can't even say that he has a hook shot, you know, to save his life.
He's very flawed offensively. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the offensive end that worries me. If I don't see any type of marked improvement, that was one of the things that I thought I would see this season from him, but I did not see that. I saw great defensive work from him. I saw a lot of the little things that he brings, the stuff that does not show up on the stat sheet. And it's just his paint presence. And that's great. And that's valuable. But offensively, that's where I'm hesitant on that number. Why are the Spurs going to give out some crazy offer, or let alone some kind of a cringy offer? You know, maybe you bite a little bit and you're kind of like, I guess, if he's just limited so much on that court and pretty much dominating on one end versus a balanced game on both ends. Now, look, if it's a contract year for him, if they, you know, he does stay for that 1 year next season, you know, yeah, then he's on notice and he needs to prove that he can be a two-way guy. And I think that'll help the Spurs at least next season. You know, who knows what happens after that season. But it's just that limited offensive end is what worries me the most when it comes to offering Pirtle a contract, Casey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially the way that the NBA is transitioning to. I mean, he definitely is competent enough on the defensive end of the floor, but if you're following suit of the way the NBA is going and the gradual process, that doesn't work. You at least have to have – you can't be a liability on the floor offensively. And it's progressively gone more and more in that direction, from you got to be able to be efficient around the basket to you have to be able to have a mid-range shot. And in 2 years from now, or by the end of next offseason, it's going to be more and more so, hey, you have to have the ability to extend to 18, 20 feet out, be able to knock down a corner three when you get it. And Pirtle right now hasn't shown those signs. He hasn't shown those signs. That's something that's going to cost him financially going forward if things follow suit in that direction almost that drastically. And again, he probably has Brook Lopez to thank for that, because Brook Lopez changed his whole game, like you said. So, he could send him that thank you card, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that is what's getting me right now. It's I I like the money you give him for his defensive side. And does he deserve a pay rate? Yeah, because I think he provides defense. And that is the area of concern for the Spurs this past season. Defensively, they sometimes couldn't slow down anybody. And when he was off the court, you saw teams pretty much score at will. And then, of course, there's just LaMarcus Aldridge. How much more left does he have in the tank to anchor that defense, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. So we shall see. But, you know, they got other guys, other bigs, you know, on the roster. Trey Lyles, great three-point shooter, great rebounder. He was having a great spike in his play right before the pandemic happened. So maybe he will pan out to be a better player next season. He's definitely working hard in the offseason. Eubanks, rugged, tough guy, but very undersized, what, 6'9", 6'8", something like that. So, you know, liability in the paint. But, hey, you know, even then, positionless basketball. You know, look at Draymond Green. He was 6'8", 6'9", and still shutting it down. Obviously, Eubanks is not Green, but there is still that blueprint there that Eubanks can at least give you something. But and that's when I look at the roster depth, and I think, well, again, Poeltl's value there. You know, he brings value to the depth at the big man department. And maybe they can address that, you know, in free agency this summer. I don't know. But as of right now, I'm pro keeping him, but something reasonable and not matching something outrageous or giving him some sort of, like I mentioned, Paul Gasol deal where it makes Spurs fans just, you know, pull their hair out of their head. But to read more of what Casey had to say about Jakob Poeltl and his article titled Keeper Pass, you can go check it out right now. It is on the Spurs Zone. It's live. It actually went live when we were talking about it. At news4sanantonio.com. It's there. And by the way, this is just the beginning of Casey's series this offseason. He's going to be looking at a lot of the other free agents that the Spurs have on roster, maybe even some of the non-free agents that they have, and keeping or passing on them in his thoughts, or in this case, the verdict that he gives in his article. When we get back, we're going to be looking at some fan react to Casey's article. But before we do that, let's talk quickly about rockauto.com, which is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for all the car parts you'll ever need. You need new brake lamps? They got it. Oil? They got it. Carpet for your car? They have it. Again, rockauto.com. All the best brands, reliably low prices, specifications, unique and easy to navigate catalog. It's all there for you to go peruse, or if you're simply needing a car part right now, you want to go to rockauto.com. And when you do that, you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. They have an amazing selection. Again, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need. Please go to rockauto.com. We are back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. Now, of course, Casey, we saw it coming. We knew Spurs fans were going to have a react to your thoughts, and here's a sample of some of the fan base and what they had to say.
Okay.
this is from at Jimmy C. Fields. He says, pass. I like Yach, but I need my center to be able to score outside 2 feet. Your thoughts, Casey?
It sounds like everything we just said the previous segment, right?
Yeah, right there. Well, I mean, it just shows you that Spurs fans are on par with pretty much the thoughts here. Okay, here's another one from at Adam38406477. Keep only for the right price. So there you have it. Again, another segment that we shared. This is interesting from Jaquan Jefferson. He says, I would hate if they re-signed this dude. Hate, is what he said. He cost the Spurs so many games because he can't score or make free throws. However, this is interesting, since he's a foreign player, most Spurs fans love him. Okay, I guess.
I'm not denying that.
Yeah. Oh, finally somebody.
Listen, though, like, all those are good points. And I think what you have to kind of take out of that is they don't want to bring him back as the guy who's playing upwards of 30 minutes a night. And of course, that's a very small sample size that you just read. But indirectly, that's kind of what all those sentiments tell you, is that if he is coming back, you're bringing him back cheap as a guy who's going to come up and not put you in a spot where games rely on him.
But that's the what thing. They want. He's already going at the mouth already. He's already saying, I don't want to be here if I'm not going to get paid and I'm not going to play. I mean, in so many words, he didn't say it like that. Again, let me just reiterate, he did say he all but believes he'll be back in San Antonio. But if he's already in that mindset, you know, if you're the Spurs, you're looking at that like Pirtle, what are you doing, man? Like, you're going out there.
I think that was a lot of people's reaction.
Yeah.
I think that was a lot of people's reaction.
This is from Mark Barrington, too. He says, keep a player with that kind of limited offensive game won't be in huge demand. Maybe he meant something else, but maybe he meant defensive game. But he says the Spurs should be able to assign him for the right figure and improve his shooting. Again, shooting thing. Here, this is from at Claw Royalty, I guess a Kawhi Leonard fan. It says, good bench if we can keep him 10 mil or less. What about that number, Casey, 10 mil or less?
I think that's the magic number.
Okay.
I think that's it. I think that's the magic number. You don't go over 10. You don't go over 10 because I think you feel all right giving a guy $10 million off a bench in this NBA. In this NBA, I think the most for that spot, even 10 might be on the back end of stretching it. But I think that that's a conversation to have. I don't think you go over $10 million a year if he's offered that this year. I don't think you go past that number. So I agree with that.
$10 million is, like you mentioned, the magic number. Do you think another team would throw something bigger at him like that than that?
Well,
to outprice San Antonio?
I don't know.
I mean, considering the economics, I mean, do you really think like
this year, I don't think this is the year to be concerned about that. I think it'd be next year when the ball's not in the Spurs court,
right?
When they don't make that final say. I don't think that that demand to be outbid will be there this year. No, next year maybe, but this year no.
And I think Pirtle knows that. I think that's why when he spoke to the European outlets, he said, more than likely, I'm going to stay in San Antonio. But obviously, he didn't say for how long. So
right. This year, 2021 is going to be, in all likelihood, the most time he'll see. And in all likelihood, he'll probably be starting more games than he sits.
Yeah.
Or at least there's a good chance of it, especially if Aldridge goes. There's definitely a good chance of it.
We got some more react. Once again, from Jaquan Jefferson. He says he needs to go. Watching him in those two games against Philly and Denver in the bubble was disgusting.
Yeah, so. but the thing is, you got to be fair though. You got to, because I was thinking the same thing. I mean, he got toasted in those two games.
Yeah, he did.
But he also played well in the back half.
Yeah,
played well. So let's be fair. I'll be fair.
Yeah, and that's how I started off the segment. The previous segment to start the Jaka Pirtle discussion was because he played good. I'm not going to say he played stellar. He wasn't the standout, but he played good, all things considered. And you look at it too. He got a spike in minutes, so yeah, he's going to be having more time out there. He's going to do some dumb things out there. It's going to be more apparent. And you put him in focus like that, and not having an Alameda maybe at his side if they played a Twin Tower look, you know, to help him clean up or what have you. Nevertheless, based on this quick react we're getting from fans, the vibe is that the fan base wouldn't be sad if he does the Spurs do pass or see him go, Casey.
Certainly sounds like the case.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. Small sample size, but.
Hey, but if there's anything we've learned about the Spurs fan base over the past few months, is that their opinions, their sentiments, they change just like that.
Yes. Pirtle can drop a double-double in game one of the new season, and it'd be, re-sign him. Re-sign him now. And
If Pirtle comes back next year and he starts and he puts up, I don't know, we'll say 10, 8, and just under 2 blocks a night, give or take, we'll call it that. That narrative, I think, is going to change.
Yeah,
from Spurs fans,
and I think a contract season would do him good as well.
Well, of course, and that's the other thing too. That's the other thing too.
Yeah, like it'll light a fire in anybody. We shall see, you know. But it's a great discussion, and I get it. This is one of the bigger storylines that a lot of Spurs fans have been in talking about, even here at Locked On Spurs. But what Casey did took it a step beyond. It's a really good article. Go check it out, news4sanantonio.com right now. And yeah, enjoy it. And it's not just that. Of course, one of the running jokes that Casey and I have is that, you know, Jeff will find anything out there to give you. Well, that is holding true right now in the off season. From Keldon Johnson going sightseeing in San Antonio to Rudy Gay and what is he doing off the court in his business ventures. It's all there at the Spurs Zone. So please go there. newsforcesanantonio.com/sports/SpursZone. Go check it out. Go see. We even what Drew Eubanks had to say about that off-season minicamp that the young Spurs held. Yeah, that was a part two of our discussion, and it was released about 4 days ago. Go check out what went down. How did they, the young guys, took in that work in the off-season together. A great chat with Drew Eubanks. And, of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're going to be trying to turn this out in this off-season. They may be a little sporadic here and there, but we'll try to get at least 3 to 4 out there a week. It's going to be really, really stretching out some of these storylines, Casey.
Yep. I will give you credit. The way you got through that bubble was something. So if you can get through that bubble,
yeah,
you can get through this, because exactly. At least now there's some things to talk about. I mean, we could talk about, I don't know, Cole Anthony's
the draft. Yeah.
Yeah. How Cole Anthony would mesh on the floor with Derek White or right. You know, something like that. There's at least more hypotheticals to throw out there with the draft and free agency here. So if you can get through, you're able to get through the bubble. So if you got through the bubble, fine, which you did, you'll be okay.
And you know what I want to do again, because it actually turned out to be a hit, the panel debate. That actually got a lot of feedback and got a lot of listens. And I think what I like to do is either have an all-fan debate, which is going to have to really be moderated and heavily, because I think Spurs fans are going to be very passionate, or just bring you guys back that we had last time and go at it again. Maybe
anytime we get to interact with Pledge, you know, it's always a peach.
Yeah, so. when he called all of us on the panel boring because we wouldn't roll the dice on trading some of the pieces. He goes, "You guys are boring. You get rid of Keldon, you get rid of Derek." Obviously, you know, I'm just being facetious, and he did say keep Keldon.
Pledge would fit in perfectly in New York.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he has that New York media vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he already looks the part. He's already got the fashion down pat. I mean, he fit in perfectly in that Knick front office, right?
Exactly. All right. Well, it was a great show. You know, if you can find it, just Google Locked On Spurs panel debate. You know, you'll be able to listen to that. It was Casey, myself, James Plunger, ESPN San Antonio, and repping the fan base was Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. So it's there to enjoy. And hopefully you enjoy this episode of Locked On Spurs. Casey, how can fans interact with you? Because they're doing it right now as we speak.
Good. Glad to hear it. Yeah. At @KCCASEY_VIERA. You can find me on Twitter.
All right. There you go. Give Casey a follow. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.